If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz.
Hey, it's your worst possible nightmare. It's the sound of Borzoi interrupting whatever wonderful talking point Mike is making right now, interrupting your own train of thought. And you're in this position, listening to me right now, well, because you're listening to the free version of this show. You're not even getting all the content, and now you have to listen to me. Is this what you want? Is it really? You want to hear this? You want to hear me? That just can't possibly be what you want. So if you want to rectify that issue, go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can make one-time donations and get 3 months, 6 months, even a year. So why are you doing this to yourself? This has to be especially troubling because I'm not even going to check the audio and how this sounds. So you could also be listening to just terrible audio right now. So why not just stop doing this to yourself and get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall.
All right, everybody drink every time I flip my hair like that because it won't hold. Welcome to the Daily Show 1054. Russian failed gay op edition, I guess. We're gonna have to go through that mess, which is going to be fun for me because I don't understand it either. So I'm just going to become a listener.
Well, I think it's fascinating and interesting, and I have a pretty good read on the situation, I think. So
it's definitely fascinating. Definitely interesting. But my map chat just became like the dueling like Telegram war enjoyer like prediction and analysis like posting.
Yes,
like they were sharing everything from all over the spectrum. And I'm just kind of like there was nothing I could do.
I was witness to this on Saturday and I refrained from posting. I think I posted one thing in frustration. But I kind of regret that post because it was kind of dumb. But like, in retrospect, like I knew that
which post was that?
All,
was that saying
where I said like here's how to understand the situation? Prigozhin is a Jew and Putin is a conservative.
That's not
like
bad.
That was my post.
That's pretty basic.
Yes, but in the end, I think Putin actually came out
Peter
very
Zion
strongly
was
on
jumping
top.
The gun on this one too.
Oh yeah, any Western analyst is going to be full of shit on this, except for like racists and people like us, right? But
Peter Zion like fucking set aside like multiple hours to just address this one thing. Like, oh man, something's happening. Oh god, yeah. So here's how it's going to unfold.
Well, if you want to talk about the problem, of Putin's conservatism, the problem with it is he's never going to learn because he does like he takes W's. Like that's one of the things like conservatives don't take W's. Like he actually takes W's,
different.
So he's never going to learn that conservatism is wrong. In America,
Putin,
they
like,
think America American conservatives take L's. But they don't learn from that. The lesson they learn is like taking L's is the victory because at least like we didn't have to compromise our principles or do something underhanded to take a W. Whereas,
well, the lesson that conservatives take is to undermine the concept of victory.
Yeah. Yes.
To attack the very concept.
Right.
Like winning and power are just bad and we shouldn't do them.
Right.
Because we never do them. So we shouldn't. We're the good guys. Like, but the number one thing you need to know to understand this, literally, is that this guy is a fucking Jew. Okay? And I'm not the one that says it. The Times of Israel says that his father is a Jew.
Right.
And that he also apparently, his father died when he was young or before he was born, and he was therefore adopted, but his adoptive father was a Jew. There's some debate over whether his biological father is a Jew or not, but there's no debate that his adoptive father is a Jew, and therefore he was raised as a Jew.
Right.
So, so there's that. Now, what happened is actually goes back somewhat of a ways with this Wagner military contractor, private military company, which was not started by Prigozhin. It was started by elements within Russia's military intelligence service. And they, in other words, I think this was basically a group that was set up by military intelligence service to do gay ops and have like a kind of a, they kind of wanted to be more like the West, like use more military contractors, be more dynamic and not be as stuck in the bureaucratic ways of the Russian military going back, you know, hundreds of years potentially.
Right.
And so they created this thing and they wanted it to be a private company, like along the lines of like a Blackwater or something like that. So they set this oligarch Prigozhin up, who was a caterer. His money was from catering. That was where he got his money from. And he was personal friends with Putin because the legend is that Putin was a government official in Moscow early in his career after the fall of the Soviet Union. He was like a minor city official. And this guy was like a hot dog vendor. And Putin would get lunch from his hot dog stand every day. And they became buds. That's the legend. I don't know if I buy that.
I don't fucking buy that for a second.
That sounds like a very much of a Just So story, right?
That sounds like one of those ridiculous, like trying to, you know, these stories of the West has told about the Soviets and Russia for like decades, that like, what a fucking wild, unimaginable, like silly place it is, where a hot dog vendor, you know, it's just that.
I think the Russians probably cash in on those type of narratives too, because it makes them seem like, hey, we're just normal guys kicking around Moscow in 1992 and just became buds. You know?
That just smacks of like they're a gas station posing as a country. It's like he's a hot dog vendor posing as a military. Yeah. It's like, shut up, fucking Jew.
Yeah, I he's a Jew. So, and he was raised by a Jew, and he comes into a huge amount of money, and now he's like an oligarch with a private military company. Like, I don't think this guy was just a fucking hot dog salesman. Like, that's my personal view, but I don't know all the details.
Maybe his fly was open all the time.
But I do know, like, here's the thing. So, I don't know what exactly. I think Wagner was spun off maybe a little bit less than 10 years. Yeah, okay. All right. Sorry. All right. Anyway, so.
Hey, you got a license to sell hot dogs.
But the thing is, this guy's not a general. He's not a fighter. He's never been in the military. He's never been a fighter. What he did was when they took Wagner and they put them into Ukraine, and they specifically put them into this back Bakhmut, right? This big battle that lasted like 9 months.
Yeah.
And they legitimately turned the tide of that battle. It was basically stalled. And then in February of this year, they took this city just north of it. The Wagner troops did. They moved in on this city real quick, flanked it. And then from there, it was like 3 months until they took the whole place. And that whole time, this guy, Prigozhin, it actually is true that he was a billionaire in Russia because of his food catering business. Literally, that is actually true.
Okay.
He decides to go and hang out at the front with his troops, and he puts on the plate carriers and the armor, and he makes all these – he just starts making all these meme videos.
Okay.
From Bakhmut. Like, he's cutting promos on Zelensky. And then he starts cutting promos on the Russian Ministry of Defense itself. Particularly defense minister, this guy, Sergei Shoigu, who's actually like some kind of Eskimo or something like that. He's not totally white. He's like kind of like part like he's actually part Mongol or something like that. I don't know. But and cutting promos on the chief of staff, this guy, Valery Gerasimov is his name. And apparently these guys are known douchebags and not very well liked in Russia. So it was good to it was like everyone hates Mark Milley, right?
Yeah, everybody fucking
hates that. Known douchebag. Right? You can imagine. His equivalent, Gerasimov, everyone hates, and Shoigu would be the equivalent of Lloyd Austin. He's a defense minister. He's also not a military man. He's a civilian, but in Russia, when you become defense minister, you get a military rank. Anyway.
So wait a minute. Russians have to hire mercenaries to fight wars on their own border?
Well, this was one of the critiques, was that they don't have to. They chose to. They sent this mercenary company in to this battle, and they ended up winning it. But the point, that's not really the point, though. I mean, that was actually one of the critiques that some people made, is that, like, you let this monster of your own creation, like, get out of your control. But the thing, I mean, when I talk about needing mercenaries to fight, like, there's no country that needs it more than Ukraine. I mean,
oh my God.
Like, how many fucking Polish or just Western mercenaries generally are there in Ukraine fighting. So they fought this battle, and this is where I think the mistake was made. So he started like cutting all these promos against the defense ministry, calling them stupid, calling them slow, saying their tactics were bad. And he was right about a lot of that shit. Like, a lot of people agreed with that. And then he was like demanding more and more ammunition, but his pronouncements became like crazier and crazier. He then started just giving the Ukrainian side of the narrative. Like he was saying, like, this war was stupid. We didn't have to do this. The Ukrainians never did anything to us. And then he would also be just objectively lying.
The post that I saw that was like, all right, this is some American bullshit now, is when he said that this war was never about bringing like Russians back to our like national bosom. And war is not, there's totally unnecessary. And it's just to glorify, it's just for like some animals to revel in glory of war. I'm like, that's total fucking bullshit. Like you're now spouting like Western propaganda of this war makes no sense. It's being run by crazy people for no reason. Like, no, shut the fuck up. Right. Now I just know this. You really are Jewish and there really is no Jew you can ever trust.
It wasn't just that he was saying
I sat there at my phone. I just guffawed like twice. Like when I read that, I was like, this is like straight from like some shitty, like Obama speechwriter would put this fucking turn of phrase together.
But he was building to that for a while. Like he was doing this for a while. And
well, this is pretty annoying. You don't want to hear my voice. You want to hear Mike finish his thought, huh? But you can't because you don't have a subscription. You should go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. Tag it.
To go from
this war's not going well enough, you're not being aggressive enough, and these tactics are trash, to suddenly, like, this is just, like, war profiteering and for people to revel in the glory. It's like, just shut. You're one of them. You're reveling in the glory of your fucking Bakhmut victories, are you not? It's just like, just shut the fuck up. Like,
well, a lot of people had that same criticism about the initial tactics and saying like the Russians didn't deploy enough troops initially and they got overwhelmed by the Ukrainians. The Ukrainians were more ready than the Russians thought they were. The West was more willing to support Ukraine than the Russians thought. The Russians were under the probably mistaken impression that a small amount of actual military pressure would lead to a negotiation in their favor. That was wrong. They made a lot of errors and they got embarrassed very early in the war. And they lost a lot of territory last fall. And then, since then, they've like massively upscaled their effort, and now the Ukrainians have like no chance. And basically, after they won in Bakhmut, Wagner, supported by the regular Russian military, and the whole time that battle was going on, this guy is cutting promos every night, and he's got his own media channels, his own media outreach. He became, and this is so fucking typical, he became like a meme.
Right.
And the people that liked him the most, frankly, were like sort of kind of like the type of people in America who would be like Q-type boomers. Like those people liked him the most.
Yeah.
And I think the meta lesson here is what this guy was, and I think the West was in on this with him. And they had been talking, and I don't think this was planned, like, because they're saying he was thinking about doing this as early as 2 weeks ago. I'm like, no, he was planning this from the time they got to the front lines in Bakhmut.
Right.
He was planning this. That's why he went to the front lines. He spent the whole time on the front lines with the men, cutting these promos, building a faction loyal to him, consistently attacking the Ministry of Defense while making sure to avoid attacking Putin because nobody in Russia attacks Putin.
Right.
It's just not done. If you do it, it's very discrediting to yourself, but attacking his underlings, which is a very common strategy for people that are actually looking to undermine. Because when you attack a direct underling of the leader, you're also kind of attacking the leader, but you don't have to bring it on yourself of actually taking that step of attacking the president. Nobody in Russia does that. Because it is still an authoritarian country like that, where you just don't attack the top. You just don't do that shit. And anyway, so this just built and built. And I think that he was in contact with Western intelligence. It's not clear how long. Additionally, some of the money for this Wagner group probably comes from some of those Jewish billionaires, of those Jewish oligarchs who beginning. Yeah, I'm sure it does. And in fact, there's kind of like this, of course, in Russia, there's kind of like this rivalry between this GRU military intelligence unit that created Wagner, which has elements loyal to that oligarchical Jewish element. And then the FSB, which is where Putin comes out of, which is the successor organization to the KGB, which is a state security. It's not the military intelligence. And that's where Putin's base is coming out of, is those type of people. And there's like this tug of war, I guess, between these groups, but Putin has decisively won that battle by being the head of state. But these Jew oligarchs hate this war. They hate being sanctioned by the West. They hate that they can't do business everywhere. They hate that their money is tied up, that their yachts are seized, that their money is frozen, their accounts are frozen. Most of them have fled Russia to either Israel or to London, or those are the two main places they've gone to.
Oh, you mean the City of London?
The City of London. Yeah, the City of London Corporation. Yes, they've gone to City of London Corporation. Anyway, so there's a few Jews left in certain positions of power in Russia, and he was one of them. And, of course, he does this. And the day that it started, it was like I knew that he had been just, like, talking all mad shit on the Ministry of Defense and whatever. And I figured, like, this is just the kind of shit that they do. Like, they're just always doing this.
Yeah, sure.
It's not really true, actually. He was, like, the only one doing it. Now, a lot of people don't like those two officials. And I'm sure those two officials are corrupt and mired in their own bureaucratic inertia and all that. It's all true, right? Probably totally. I'm sure they fought and they did fuck up. Objectively, they fucked up in the first stages of the war. They did not put enough troops in. They lost humiliating battles last fall, or they lost lots of territory in humiliating fashion. They were forced to retreat, and it was a big debacle. All that shit was true. But then, like, this guy says. He does his rant basically saying this war is fake. It was only for the glory of the and then never criticizing Putin. Only these two top generals and defense ministers. And then they even said going all the way back to 2014. He even undermined the beginning of like the Donbass war in 2014 and even saying like that was bullshit.
Right.
And this was his announcement. And then he comes out with this video where he says the Russian Ministry of Defense just launched a missile strike on Wagner camps and killed 2,000 men. And his evidence for this was like an obviously fake video with just like, it was basically like they set some brush. They went to the woods and like set some brush on fire. And then they filmed that. I'm not joking. Like,
brush on fire outside
retarded.
Camp.
I don't know if I could find a copy. They literally sent some like underbrush on fire in the woods. And like, this is the remains of the missile strike of the Russian Ministry of Defense on Wagner group killing like 2,000 troops. And it was like all right. I mean, and that was obviously false. So then they move they left in a convoy, and he actually didn't get the whole Wagner group. In fact, he only got about 4,000 or 5,000 guys out of 25,000. And the Wagner group is divided into – there's like five actual commanders. They're all ex-Russian special forces, and they each command a detachment of about 5,000. And only one of them went with him. And many of the Wagner troops that did go were lied to. They were told they were repositioning to another part of the front lines. They were not told where they were going. And this is verified by Russian media and others doing – and even civilians – on their own social media accounts, like talking to Wagner guys that were just stationed in the streets of Rostov, which is a city very close to the Ukraine border where a lot of the military shit was being planned. As soon as the Russians knew this was happening, they basically gave a general stand down order, told nobody to interfere with Wagner. And they even just gave up the military command center in the middle of Rostov. So Wagner faced zero opposition going in. Now, remember, only like one-fifth of the whole company went, like this, these 5,000 guys or whatever. And they faced no opposition in Rostov. And then another convoy, and not all 5,000 went there. Another convoy left from further north and started going to Moscow. But Prigozhin himself went to Rostov, camped out there, and stayed there until the whole thing was called off after about 8 hours of the convoy up towards Moscow. Now, some people were saying this is all like kayfabe. This is a plot between Putin and Prigozhin. That's not true, nor was it totally fake, because the Russians had basically blocked off the highways and were letting them go as far as they wanted. But if you look at Moscow on a map, there's two beltways around the center of the city. There's like two beltway highways around the center of the city. And the outer one, they had begun fortifying, and they'd even mined some bridges going across the river into Moscow that they were going to blow if Wagner got too close. And they could have annihilated them from the air at any point. They could have done Iraqi-style highway of death. Now, although there was some mixed civilian traffic with the convoy because they couldn't get rid of all the civilian traffic. But the Wagner people shot down. And this is where I am introducing my own theories here. My theory is that Prigozhin was told by the CIA or somebody else, and we know that there are moles. We know that U.S. intelligence has moles in the Russian bureaucracy because those leaks that Jack Teixeira was putting online, assuming he was the one doing it. Had chatter about of Ministry of Defense officials talking about Prigozhin and his like crazy behavior, and they had intercepted these somehow. And my view is that the CIA or whoever his contacts were, maybe Mossad, who knows, were telling him, yeah, when you do this, when you declare your intention to go to the Ministry of Defense and arrest Shoigu and Gerasimov and like take over their job or whatever, you're going to have a lot of backing because we have all kinds of moles in the system and we know guys are going to back you up. And I think that they did this knowing that this was going to fail, but hoping that Russia would respond to it by initiating a massive fight inside Russia, like a gun battles running through the streets of Rostov, which would kill Wagner, would kill Russian troops, would kill civilians, would be a fucking disaster, or that they would do a massive bombing campaign on the convoy from the air, blowing up their own highways, probably killing civilians, killing all the Wagner troops, like slaughtering like 4,000.
Oh, hi, guys. Here's another pre-recorded interruption, not an actual interruption. I'm just here to remind you, we need you to go ahead and pick up a subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use money orders, you can use crypto, you can use eChecks, you can even go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can use your credit card on there to get around the Jews' banishment of our banking services. That works. So you can do that until you can't. I don't know. But thanks. We'll be right back to the show now.
Guys from bombs, like, it would have been a fucking disaster politically. It would have been totally a disaster, totally destabilizing, demoralizing for all the troops at the front. It would have seriously fucked up Russia's ability to fight the war. But I think what they did was very smart. They didn't fight them. They let them sort of they didn't really take over a city. They just let them take up a position in the city and didn't bother them.
This was one of the like really annoying pieces of like wishful thinking Western analyses that pissed me off. Like, oh, they were able to march such and such as many kilometers and come within such and such as many kilometers of Moscow. It's like, yeah, no one attacked them. They didn't, like, why would they attack their own dudes when there's, like, a weird thing going on? Like, more than half the guys in the column didn't know what they were doing. That was the thing I heard. Is like, this was under, you know, soldiers were being marched.
They were being lied. Like, if you're going to do a thing like this, you can't lie. You can't lie and say, I was hit with a missile attack, killed 2,000. If they actually killed 2,000.
Just to get back to what I was saying, though, it's like, okay, you want to, like, Western, like, an analyst, whoever's talking about this, you want to crow about the Wagner group pushing through towards Moscow. Like, okay, now you try. Try with your force. How's it going with the Ukrainian forces? Like, that's like, you can try to make fun of it all you want. It's not changing the situation on the ground. They didn't fucking commit, like, hardly any resources to stopping them. Number one, because they have a fucking war going on, and number two, because like it's not a real thing.
They were also portraying soldiers that let them pass,
Zihan,
and police that let them pass as having
one
defected.
If you look at the link down there, you're gonna see like there's four videos: the Russian coup part one through part four.
Oh yeah, okay.
His narrative's like, oh crap, no, this turned out different than I anticipated.
I want to see the crushing disappointment when they just got a handle on it. So
It's like psych.
Russian coup. Part
the
four,
idea though
psych.
That
Hold
like
on, let me get this in here.
That because the actual Russian troops, who many people in Russia do like,
it's like
they do think the Wagner is cool. And they also just, you know,
his still images, his thumbnails for the videos. It's like he's got an annoying like DreamWorks smirk.
Dude,
on three
he's
of
so
them.
Annoying.
And
oh
then the
God.
Last, and then the last one was like his smile and optimism gone.
Look
at how
bun.
Fucking happy he's doesn't have. He's got sunglasses on.
The
he's got
man
shades
bun
on. He's
kills
chilling.
Me every time.
Yeah, the man bun. Maybe I should do that next. Maybe I'll do man bun instead of like scene hair.
And you have to wear like a sport jacket and jeans everywhere.
Oh man, that's embarrassing. This account is still subscribed to Black Pigeon and Sticks Hexenhammer. Wow.
Oof. Yeah, you're gonna need to.
Well, this is
very embarrassing.
This is the account I use for being on the show. That sucks. That's very embarrassing. I should. Oh, at least I'm all right. I'm subscribed to TuneFart on here. That's good. Everyone should check out TuneFart. He's great. Just kidding. should we watch one of these? I mean,
I
want to watch. I want to watch.
I want to see.
Actual
I haven't seen
Psych.
This should be the one where he's like,
is that what it, is that what it's called? It says psych.
Yeah.
Everybody, Peter Zine here, still in Iowa, coming from my parents' backyard. Obviously, this Russian coup is a little non-standard.
It's a little non-standard.
It was always non-standard.
When did he post this?
Why did you post it?
5 hours ago, and he hasn't gotten the message like, there's no Russian coup guy.
Oh, this is only 5 hours old?
Yeah, this is 5 hours old. Maybe he recorded
it
yesterday.
So how long has he been coping?
No, for sure.
He's been pacing the floors, coping, trying to think of what he's going to say.
With what we know for sure. A little bit of background. The Russian government of Vladimir Putin is a clique of people who are primarily from St. Petersburg, where Putin was vice mayor for in a lot of the 1990s after returning from East Germany, where he was a KGB officer who was in charge of stealing things. Putin's early mindset was that the Russian system is not really capable of producing things of value for itself, so we need to steal them.
What?
When is he going to get to it? How long is this video?
I don't know.
Is he going to actually get to something interesting?
Is it going
to
be like the Rot?
It's like a long setup of copes of like why,
Like remember the Rotherham series by Melania Woese?
Yeah,
16 hours of British history. Before.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But here's the problem, dude. Oh. Like, the coup failed, and it failed because no one supported it. And no one supported it because it was retarded. And frankly, in my view, you're an idiot. And I don't even think that the fucking CIA people that were involved, and I'm saying this without any evidence of that other than like circumstantial, but I think that America actually didn't ever expect this to succeed at all. They just wanted a bloodbath. And I, in fact, just final point before we listen to more of this guy, the reason I actually think that was, I think even along the way, Prigozhin was trying to instigate that because they actually shot down some Russian aircraft. And one of the jokes going around is like Wagner has been able to down one of these Russian Gator helicopters, and the Ukrainians have yet to been able to do that. It's not entirely true, but in this latest offensive the Ukrainians are doing, they've been getting wrecked by these attack helicopters.
Yeah,
because they can actually use laser aiming and hit from like several kilometers away. My thing is like
laser.
Obviously, these helicopters were deployed to monitor the convoy, not attack it, and they just came under unprovoked anti-aircraft fire. And the meme is that Wagner took no casualties, but I saw one video of a Wagner armored vehicle, probably with troops in it, absolutely get fucking destroyed. So I don't know if that's real. It looked like it was real, but I can't ever tell with these things. So, but one thing is pretty verified is that they did shoot down aircraft, and those were aircraft were mainly there to spy on the con or just monitor what its progress, and they shot at them and killed people, which is murder.
Yeah,
and Prigozhin said he's now apparently part of this agreement is he's going to give 50 million rubles to the family of every one of those troops. But it's like, yeah, it doesn't really make up for it, but you know, still.
I mean, that was his job, and that came true in St. Petersburg as well, where he fused with local organized crime in order to govern the city. When he became national leader, he basically just brought his people with him and continued that same general idea. It's not that he is a massively corrupt person. In fact, by Russian leadership standards, he's pretty clean. But the people around him who have kind of done all the dirty work and the heavy lifting have always been on the corrupt side. Probably not to the same degree as the folks who looted the state back in the 1990s, but, you know, this is still Russia. So even
the Jews.
There are no Jews. Those are just Russians. Everyone around him is Russian. People that do the heavy lifting for like Western leaders, like they're corrupt. They do weird shit. But who are we talking about?
Are corrupt to a certain degree. Anyway, it's not so much that means that Russia is a corrupt state, although it is. But instead, it's a different sort of selection process for the.
Then why does he qualify everything? It's like just say Russia is a corrupt state.
Well,
like, what is it? It's like, why do you have to do this like half in, half out bullshit? Like, it makes it impossible. That's like the illusion. The illusion of like wisdom is being like on the fence of something and being, you know, it's just pathetic.
The people who are at the top, your job unofficially is to extract wealth from the population and the system.
And as a result,
you're not going for the good managers. You're going for the good people who know how to intimidate. So organized crime.
Well, this is sort of funny that
working.
Like critics of other regimes just use a libertarian boilerplate a criticism of statism generally, which is pretty funny.
New America,
hand in hand,
right?
With
I mean,
the Russian,
yeah.
Russian government at the national level, and the tools that you use in managing an organized crime syndicate are the ones that the Putin government has always used to manage the system at large, which is one of the reasons why Putin has been able to strike a series of deals with the Chechen leadership, because they think
this is so fucking annoying to me, this analysis. It's like, yeah, hey, asshole, one of the organizing principles of the state is force. It is in America, too. It is in any that is objectively like you only, it's like you're mad because what the Russian government uses force to keep order or keep or enforce its will. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you say when you're lazy.
This is such a fucking bullshit.
When you're lazy and you're dishonest enough to not admit, like, well, what I want is for this state's will to be thwarted.
Yeah, I just
you pretend that like that any you pretend that the measures they use to not be thwarted are somehow unfair. It's the same shit with like, oh my god, the Nazis shot people in a war. Awful
enemies that were trying to undermine their military campaign. They killed them. Oh my god.
Oh my god, you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Very similar.
It's like, oh my god, like Jews, Western Jews want to dismantle and loot Russia. They were sort of mad when their looting operation was interrupted by Putin in the starting around the mid 2000s. Kind of annoyed them. They thought they were gonna be able to loot and break up this country, and now they can't.
Yeah.
And so let's just call foul on every strong arm tactic that Putin used to muscle these people out of power.
Well, either kind of warlords come robbers, and that colors the entire system. That means that most of the big strategic thinkers that used to be part of the Soviet system are not, for the most part.
This is pretty annoying, huh? All this can go away. You bought a paywall at rightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use crypto, e-checks, mail in a money order, or even use your credit card on Sven's Odyssey channel. The link will be below in the show notes. That's therightstuff.biz/paywall.
Part of the Russian government, and when it comes to things like military tactics and professionalism, that shows. Putin was an inveterate Westerner because, you know, St. Petersburg is the window on the West, but he never really developed the skill sets and it's necessary to take that beyond ideology. So we have a lot of less competence in Russian institutions compared to where it was during the Soviet.
Your little fucking gay op failed.
Well, hold on. Who doesn't have constant confidence in their institutions? He's like one of the most popular leaders in the world. Like doesn't have confidence? You? Jews that want to like
these people. Look, the idea that there's like the Russia is like perfect is stupid.
No,
obviously,
but it's just like, who are the onlookers that you're speaking for that have no faith in the institutions and like, what does that mean? Like, how do I translate that out of Western Zioshil? You know,
right, seriously, America right now. I'll tell you there's a big problem that America has that Russia does not have. That's like shootings, mass shootings, and crime.
And confidence. No one has confidence in this system.
No one has confidence in this system. I mean, everyone hates the system. I mean, this system is filled with people who are like hate it, are like checked out conspirators, or else are like lunatic homosexuals that are like lording it over everyone. The cities in this country are emptying out, and they're like crime-ridden death zones. Like, it is impossible to enforce basic law in this country. The murder rate, there is no country on earth that has a murder rate like America. There is no country on earth that has mass shootings. I mean, you are coming from the world capital of mass shootings, and you are talking about state incompetence in Russia?
Also, like,
get the fuck out of here. Like, there is nothing that demonstrates state incompetence like literally a mass shooting every other fucking day, if not every day.
Also,
okay, nothing could possibly demonstrate state incompetence better than that.
Our quaint little two-party system has devolved into just like dueling back and forth articles of impeachment being introduced against whoever in charge. That's just going to be going forward the norm. There's just going to be every day, or not every day, but every, I don't know, every quarter, there's going to be like reports about guffaws about, oh my god, articles of impeachment against the president, against this, against that, have been brought by Representative Hoosie-Diggy whatsoever. And it's just like, it's a joke.
And the case against Putin in Russia is like, oh yeah, there's like some corrupt officials at the top that are like skimming off. I'm like, yeah, no shit. That happens literally in every fucking government that ever existed on the history of the earth.
So I want some copes.
Period. And Putin, despite what his personal preferences may have been, never developed a skill set and, above all else, the team of people that is necessary to take it in a different direction.
What direction?
He has had a few people over the years. Kasyanov, Mikhail Kasyanov, if you remember him, former finance minister, was one of them. People who know how to run an economy, but bit by bit, most
is
of those
guy
people
Jewish?
Have fallen out.
I mean, I'm just going to assume if you say a former finance minister and he knows how to run, that you're talking about a Jew. I'm just going to assume like you want the Jew back to like to do
raising him.
Like you want a real usurer in charge. Like that's been the meme of what Putin has removed from the country. I hate how this like triggers me into like being like a huge like Putin shill, but like give me a break. Like who are you talking
Dude.
About? I would love to know the meme is about that guy.
With the Putin government.
Yeah, I can't find evidence that Mikhail Kasyanov is a Jew, but
what's his track record? Were we working with the IMF? Like, what were we doing? When did he become the former finance?
Oh, he basically became a shill for the West.
See, I mean, that's what we're talking about. Putin, he's just not competent enough to get a fucking group of cabinet members together that can turn him into a fucking Western outpost of faggotry. That's what he said.
This is one of the reasons why Prigozhin was able to become so powerful, not because he was a competent leader. He's not. He's a former caterer. But he had the ideology of the, quote, hard man image in Russia. And you combine that with a general attitude within the top leadership that is non-standard for government quality, and he was able to rise to the top. Okay, so that's that. What's going on with Prigozhin?
Here's where he's wrong. And my whole monologue, the intro of this show, shows it. Like, Prigozhin didn't actually have very much power.
Yeah.
He was a meme.
Right.
And now because this guy buys memes as mm-hmm. presented on TV, like the image of Prigozhin. Now, don't get me wrong. People liked him. People liked his antics. They thought he was funny. They thought some of his criticisms were valid. They were Prigozhin enjoyers. But nobody, except for, I mean, he even had to lie to his own troops to get them to do this.
Yeah,
he had only a very small core cadre of support. 4 out of 5 of his lieutenants, who weren't even really his lieutenants, didn't join him. You know, 80% of his own supposed private army didn't join him. No one defected to him. The reason he was unopposed was police and National Guard and military were told to not engage. Despite this, they shot at their own brethren anyway. I mean, they committed fratricide. They killed Russian pilots. Because the point of this was to touch off some kind of active combat situation in the middle of Russia and a massive demoralizing and awful bloodbath of Russian on Russian in the middle of the country. That was the idea. But, that was, I think, what the CIA wanted. But, the lesson of this is that you could take this as part of our larger lessons that like Twitter followers don't mean anything.
Right.
Like having basically Prigozhin had a popular Twitter account. That's essentially that's equivalent. He's like he had a multi-million following Twitter account and he was going viral a lot. He literally thought viral videos could translate into a coup against the state.
Don't hear me.
Couldn't.
Dreams.
In fact, it would stop fucking cold.
Now, well, a deal supposedly has been struck where he will not try to overthrow the government and hang the defense minister in Red Square if, in exchange, everyone in Wagner signs a document saying that they're now under the control of the defense ministry and Prigozhin personally goes to Belarus and stays there. So
basically the Russian government won.
Yes,
how do you spin that into a total fucking, like, it does a total, like, the coup failed. All of his troops are now regular Russian military troops, and he's probably going to be assassinated at some point in Belarus.
Yeah, that's the assumption. Is that he will go into exile in
Belarus.
You don't think so? And
No, I don't know. Done it. They would have already pulled the trigger if they were going to do that.
No, I think they're cucky enough to want like him to have like an accident, like a boating accident later in life.
Because I think they want this whole situation. Like, I'm not saying they will assassinate
him. I'm going to make a hard prediction. He's not going to be assassinated.
No?
I actually don't think he will be, but I understand why people think he will be. And most people that say he will be are saying it'll happen like several months down the road. He'll suddenly die of a heart attack in Belarus or something like that. But who knows? One thing's for sure, well, that it's possible
if he really is as much of a meme as you say he is, then there might be no need to assassinate him.
Well, see,
I can see that.
What's that?
I was just saying I could see what Alex is saying because of that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the idea that like he would be shot right now is, it's like, then why didn't they just actually openly engage the Wagner columns in combat?
Well, because then they would have to fight their own countrymen, these guys that enlisted in that group.
And
nobody wants to do that.
Right. And so basically, Russia was very smart to not engage them, let them pass, and then let them think. One guy I was watching was saying that, one of the things that might have happened is that it's like from where they left the Ukrainian border to Moscow, depending on how fast you're going, it can be between a 10 and a 20 hour drive, and they would have been in a convoy, so they'd be going relatively slower. It's like letting them drive that distance, like unopposed, like sitting there thinking about like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
like what are we doing? And knowing that they had the whole time they were approaching.
This is like the January 6th insurrection.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have time to think. Right. So if they had time, if they had like 10 hours, but like, yeah, they're driving towards and I don't know if they knew it, but the whole time they had been clearing everything except for positions they had actually created hard fortifications, and they were not going to pass those positions. And I think that when Lukashenko called Prigozhin, he made this clear, like, look, we've let you guys go this far, but trust me, once you get to the outer ring road around Moscow, they are not going to pass that marker, and nobody is joining you in this, even your own group. Most of it didn't join. So now the ones that did join in this coup attempt are not going to be joining the military. They're going to just be dismissed. They were given immunity.
They're
given immunity to give them a reason, again, to give them a reason to stop fighting.
Right.
Because if they were told you're going to be executed, then they would just fight. They're like, no, you're given immunity. Like, just go back to civilian life. Good luck getting a job.
I want to hear more copes on how this is a bad thing. But I hear.
Oh, hey, guy. Herschel here. Are you listening to a free fag episode of The Daily Shower? Do you need a small personal loan so you can afford a paywall subscription? I may be able to help you out. For the very low price of just $10 a month, you can listen to Mike finish his talking points without annoying promotional bits like this one. Log on to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your white man's agency level. E-checks, money order by mail, or cryptocurrency. Support TRS's efforts in shutting down yids like me.
There we go.
Yeah.
So basically, he's going into exile. It sounds like he was bought off. Honestly, he should consider himself lucky.
Yeah.
From the video that I have seen of this armed convoy that was supposedly going to Moscow to launch a coup, I never saw more than a couple of dozen vehicles, and it wouldn't take too much to stop that. You throw in a little bit of air power, and Prigozhin certainly wasn't going to do very well. Also, Prigozhin was not part of that convoy, suggesting to me that his plan this entire time was simply to look for an exit strategy. Putin had made the decision about a week ago that the Wagner mercenary group had to be folded into the defense ministry. So honestly, Prigozhin had already lost this fight. And the coup, if it wasn't going to be serious, which turns out it wasn't, was always about Prigozhin honestly just getting the best retirement package that he could. The defense minister hates him.
Now, most of what he said is right, but that interpretation that this was so he could get a bunch of money and like a dacha in Belarus, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, if you want to entertain yourself, you should go back like about a day or so and look at what he was saying then versus now.
Yeah, let's do that.
Oh, you don't want to finish this out? All right.
Because it's funny because, well, we can do it, but it's funny because he's actually being a little bit sensible. I don't agree that
he
was bought off.
The
one thing that you need to understand.
God damn it. Sorry about that. Which one should I watch? One, two, or three? He's got...
Try one. Try to see what he was saying about on one. Because I remember him being highly excited about the event.
Some sweet shades.
All right. Dude. Peter Zion here, coming to you from Marshalltown, Iowa. This is my old
geopolitical strategy.
I was trying to mind my own business and have some personal time and attend a birthday party here in my hometown. But apparently there's a coup going on in Russia, so no rest for the wicked. Short version is over the course of the 23rd, 24th, and 25th, a guy by the name of Prigozhin, who is the leader of the Wagner paramilitary group, who has been an unofficial arm of the Russian military now for several years, has launched an armed insurrection. His troops have left their positions in Ukraine. They have moved into Russia proper. They have captured the city of Rostov-on-Don, which has a population of about 1 million. They're attempting to flip Russian troops to their sides. And the Russian government, Vladimir Putin himself, has declared Prigozhin to be a traitor and has called upon the military and security services to crush him. Prigozhin has said that the president is misinformed, but it's okay because we're going to have a new president soon anyway.
Are you laughing because it's absurd, or are you laughing because you're like
he's laughing, it's fake also, it's fake laughter.
As someone who very vividly remembers duck and cover drills and is very aware that the Russians have been aiming nuclear weapons at us my entire life, there's something just deeply hilarious about this.
Well,
the trick here is to not blow anything too much out of proportion, because there's a lot we don't know. So let's start with what is certain. Rostov-on-Don is the primary logistical and communications point for the Russian military in the entirety of the Ukrainian war. So first and foremost, the Ukrainians are making a lot of popcorn here and are getting very serious about their counteroffensive. Now, until this point, at least
that
until...
That turned out to be false.
That didn't work out.
The 23rd.
Did not work out.
The counteroffensive was not going particularly well.
And it continues to do so.
In still any battle isn't. Where the Ukrainians are facing off against the Russians, and the Russians only lose three times as many troops as the Ukrainians do, that's a battle that the Ukrainians have lost.
No evidence of
has
that
ever even happened? But I
no evidence. Well,
if you would stop talking over me, he says that they basically need to score three times as many casualties, and they're not able to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, they're not. Okay. Sorry.
They're at a huge material and demographic disadvantage.
Okay.
And they just haven't been able to achieve breakthrough. There are multiple lines of defenses that the Russians have built over recent months. It starts with minefields, and as you get further back, it's anti-tank barriers and trenches. And for the most part, the Ukrainians haven't been able to get through the minefields. So I don't want to call it a failed offensive. I don't want to call it a stalled offensive. But it's definitely not been going as much as well as they'd hoped. But on the 23rd, we saw two things.
At that point, it's basically a failed offensive, right?
It's failed. I mean, if they can... The problem is that there's like this zone of like 10 kilometers before the main first fortified defenses, and they've just been fighting in the within like the first 1 to 3 kilometers of
that. I haven't
had
success, but I wouldn't call it a failure.
Yeah, and there's really no path to success either. Not only have I not yet
stop light switch braining,
there's no credible path to success here. In fact, it's basically impossible. And I've already, you know, having expended roughly 30 to 40% of my resources on total failure, I think maybe the remaining 60% could overcome 100% of the obstacles that I have yet to overcome.
Hmm.
With any
That's
of it.
Doable.
So yeah, it's just not going to happen.
That's like when Steve Bannon said we were gonna convince like a minority of populations to become Republican voters. That's how you're gonna build a majority.
Yeah, multiple coalitions of minorities, you build a majority that way.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Now, I would say, honestly, and I'm dead serious about this, and I've been saying this from the beginning, for the sake of, like, literally human lives in Ukraine, they should stop.
Oh, yeah.
They should stop.
I don't do any...
Because, like, they're just going to die. Like, they'll kill some Russians, they'll take out some tanks, they'll take maybe another kilometer of territory.
That's been the biggest...
But they're not going to succeed in anything strategically important.
No,
and they're going to kill thousands of their own guys. And it's utter waste. And I actually have a deeper conspiracy theory here.
Ooh.
And there's zero evidence of this.
Ooh.
Zero evidence.
That's
of
what
this.
I like.
Absolutely zero evidence.
Mike is GigaChad posting.
It is probably not true. But I was even thinking, people were wondering, why are the Ukrainians throwing so many fucking troops at Bakhmut? Why are they continuing to do this? Why haven't they abandoned the city? They can't win the battle overall, but they continue to, even when there's like three blocks left that the Russians have yet to take, they're still just like dumping troops in there. And I'm like, were they doing that on purpose? to give Prigozhin the time to build up a rep? To build up his meme reputation in Russia by making these crazy videos,
that's kinda, wow.
Cutting promos on the Russian... Like I said, I have zero evidence.
But you know what the problem is? You can't put that past NATO. You can't put that past...
No, oh, I don't put it past them at all.
They would definitely... I mean, literally this entire, like, 20, this entire war...
to die, so this dude... Yeah.
This entire war is just NATO like throwing Ukrainians into a meat grinder because they don't want to lose Ukraine. I mean, the entire war is just that. They have no regard for people. They'll slaughter their own...
Well, at this point, I don't even think it's about keeping Ukraine. At this point, it's about depriving it to Russia. That too. Stopping Russia
the point
from
being,
showing that their world order is crumbling. That's the point of this now.
The point being, if like every Westerner, every European they could, every American they could recruit, they would just fucking sacrifice them for that. Yeah. For that like small geopolitical end.
Yeah. This is also why they're appealing to like Nazis in America to go over there and fight, because they want like people that they don't give a shit if they die to go over there and fucking fight. Why? Like, seriously. This whole appeal made, I mean, I've said this before, the whole appeal made by groups like the Azov Battalion and things like that, which is not, does not present as Nazi anymore. The newly revamped does not present that way. The whole reason they made an appeal to Western white nationalists and national socialists and Nazi sympathizers was because they wanted people that were a political problem for the governments here to go and die as cannon fodder fighting their geopolitical enemy. And this is actually, you don't even have to be that Machiavellian to see that that was obviously the fucking play. So anybody that goes over there to fight is doing Zog a favor.
Yep.
You're taking yourself out of America, out of the political fight here. You're going to get immediately fucking killed by Russia. And it's literally two birds with one stone for kikes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That is that what that whole thing, and it's not, you don't have to be that Machiavellian to see it. I was been saying this since 2017 when I saw this shit going on in America. And I would tell people, yo, stay away from anybody trying to get you to go fight in Ukraine. Stay the fuck away. That shit is bad news. That's fucking some kind of intelligence op. And they just want you to die fighting Russia. I cared less about the conflict then. I didn't really give a shit about it then because I didn't think it was going to escalate.
Well, it was so far in the background.
It was so far in the background, and it was like a low-level thing, and I didn't think it was going to escalate. But that was also why I was like, why the fuck for this low-level territorial dispute between these two countries would you go and die because one side has swastika tattoos?
Mm.
And like, oh, yeah, now I get the whole thing is very clear now, but yeah.
Number one, a change in military strategy. The Ukrainians had gone from targeting command and control bunkers to targeting ammo. Dumps, which is something you usually do before a big push. And the Chughar Bridge in Crimea was hit by a few missiles to make the rail system completely impassable
until
the repairs are done.
Stuff. Now he's doing
God, there's actually there's maps in the video later. Whoa, what do we got here? Drastic change in... So what? Oh, you don't like interruptions. Well, this is a different kind of an interruption. This is a pre-recorded interruption to remind you that you wouldn't be hearing this interruption if you would actually pony up, support our work here at TRS, and buy a subscription to the show. It's only $10 a month, unless you're using, like, e-checks. Then there's some extra fees, because the e-checks fucking suck. Don't use those. Point is, we need your support. You can't use credit cards anymore. It's kind of a pain in the balls, but we still need you to help us out. And if you're enjoying the content... these silly commercials will go away. We won't bother you anymore if you just do. So go to therightstuff.biz/paywall, make an order. You can use Z-checks. You can mail in a money order. You can use a bunch of different cryptocurrencies, all which suck and are annoying, but we'll get it figured out. Or you can go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can give me a donation there and send me a screenshot of the transaction. We'll get you figured out. So, yeah. I guess any second now we'll go back to the show. I don't know when, because I don't want these to be quick and predictable so that you can't just skip through them to make them go away. So this one's going to be a little extra long. But yeah, you need a subscription. You need a subscription. Let's skip ahead here from the past.
It's like
half
a few hours later.
Ukrainian section of that, and then we'll come back to the Russian section. We're now well into the third week of the conflict, and the Ukrainians haven't achieved any sort of breakthrough. There's two main lines of defense that the Russians are trying to hold. The first is a series of mine.
Yeah, I want coup and join, not map and join. This is all map and join from here on out.
I think he may have been preparing this video previously, okay. And then he just ties it into the one he's just making.
He's going to come back from map and join.
We're not going to get fuel. And then he did a little
artillery shells and ammo.
Of coup and join.
Now would be the time.
He comes back a second here.
Now, that's the strategic picture that we're seeing right now. As long as Rostov on Don is offline, it is impossible for any Russian forces anywhere in the Crimea or in occupied Ukraine to reinforce, to get more troops, to get equipment, to get fuel. So this is beyond a golden opportunity for the Ukrainians to give the Russians a serious drubbing. The question is, how long will it last? While there have been many, many reports saying many, many, many
things that didn't happen,
there is no sign of direct large-scale fighting between Wagner forces and Russian forces at the moment. But the Wagner forces are definitely in command of the logistical train on which the entire Russian army in Ukraine depends. And in that sort of situation, wonderful opportunity for the Ukrainians. Okay, next chunk, we're going to go into some of the stuff that's going on in Russia proper.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed. I wanted more like crestfallen, like upset, disappointed. Like
well,
Anne Applebaum.
That was the first one. That was a smile and optimism. That was part one. Part four, I can go back to where
he might have been most excited. Like round one thing that two and three, because here's another thing. I want to have a critique here about the Telegram, intelligence. Channel community. First of all these channels on Telegram labeled intelligence this, intelligence that, like, they're all full of shit. If you were looking at these channels for your information on this incident on Saturday, you would have thought that Yevgeny Prigozhin was like the new czar, and the Russian people were like bowing to him in the streets as he proceeded through the streets of Russia. And in my opinion, the reason these channels were doing this is because they just liked that idea. Like, if the whole idea of it plays to certain tendencies of extremely online right wingers, like essentially a pro wrestling view of politics, like, and literally Evgeny Prigozhin cultivated a wrestling heel image for himself. Like, that's what he did. He basically was a viral wrestling heel who was like cutting promos against the defense minister. And I think that this is in my opinion, and I don't know if Jesse can still hear me because he's, you know, this is an extremely online coup attempt. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I think. I think this coup attempt came out of the extremely online viewpoint.
A good way to
And I don't know to what extent the CIA knew or didn't know. I actually think, obviously, Western analysts themselves are extremely online retards that say a bunch of dumb shit and don't know what the fuck they're talking about. But I would like to think, maybe it's hard for me to believe, that Zog does not have intelligence officials that actually understand the scope of what's going on. Maybe they are so blinkered by their own bullshit, but I would have to think there's some intelligence officials and analysts that you never hear from, you never see, that actually understand, like, yeah, this is never going to go anywhere. This guy has no support, but maybe we can get him to provoke the Russians into an internecine battle inside Russia that would be massively destructive and demoralizing for their war effort. That's what I think the West wanted.
According to our good friend, people with, like, sober analysis on these just don't exist. That everyone is sort of a Kool-Aid drinker.
Oh, everybody is, like, going from the next thing to the next thing. It's like if Ukraine scores a small victory, oh, my God, Ukraine, they took, like, some village of 15 people in the foothills of – it's over for Russia. Yeah. Russia counterattacks, blows up a tank. They're like, nah, dude, Ukraine,
still
tank, graveyard, it's over for Ukraine now. Look at the blown up tank. Like, like, that's, it's been like that forever. I was sucked into it at the beginning of the war, and then I realized this is dumb and my predictions are wrong because I'm listening to these people, so I stopped listening to them. The fact is, like, an entrenched state like Russia, even if it's corrupt, you just don't meme it out of power.
Right.
You don't. And yeah, and people were saying, but Mike, lots of soldiers like Prigozhin. Lots of soldiers hate Shoigu and Gerasim. I'm like, dude, soldiers always hate the top brass. Ask any fucking soldier in our military what they think of Mark Milley. They're going to be like, that guy's a fucking douchebag. Guaranteed. Does that mean they're willing to mutiny? And
Apparently
risk
not.
Their fucking lives? No. No. It's a very serious thing to actually turn your guns on your own country, on your own military, you know, your own brothers in arms. It's a serious fucking thing. You don't do it because of memes. And you don't get, like, government officials, regional governors, mayors, police to just do that shit because this guy's a funny meme. Like, it's not going to work. And I don't think that I don't think even America thought it would. They just thought, hey, look, have your guys start, like, shooting at Russian helicopters.
I think they
provoke a battle.
Yeah, I think that's what they got wrong. Like, I think that's the wishful thinking of the modern kike, is that they can, you know, these things tend to not work out anymore the way they want them. This was like a desperate move. Yeah. This was a desperate piece of geopolitical engineering through the intelligence agencies, who have admitted at the very least that they knew about it since last week or something like that.
Well, the New York Times says they knew that he was going to move. Since Wednesday,
yeah, and the Buffalo shooter, you know, he just had a retired FBI agent in a Discord chat.
Happened to have a retired FBI agent.
Just, you know, now it's the same story. It's like they're telling you all you need to know by telling you a smidgen of what you need to know. You know,
right? So, New York Times said gave a specific thing. They said on Wednesday, intelligence officials briefed the White House that this was going to happen Friday night. So they knew it was going to happen on Wednesday. Now, then there's this other CNN article that says they had suspected this was in the works for several weeks. Yeah. And I'm like, well, given the pattern of behavior from Prigozhin that led up to this, I didn't suspect this was going to happen.
They briefed the president. Was he like, Prigozhin, did my prescription run out? Go get my Prigozhin refilled at the Walgreens.
Yeah, Prigozhin.
What is that?
It's like some kind of antidepressant. Oh man, this guy's on fucking Prigozhin. It's like a new type of copium.
It's a copium blood thinner. It keeps your oh my god, my fucking thing is messed up.
So what's funny is listening to Russians talk about this, because they're like some of the funniest stuff has been like the Russian kind of cutard Prigozhin enjoyer takes, where they were like, this is actually a plot between Prigozhin and Putin to get rid of Shoigu.
Why the fuck
would Vladimir Putin do something like this if he wanted to fire his defense minister?
He just did it.
Why doesn't he just do it? He's the president.
You think this is a better look than just power. Doing now, that?
He might piss a lot of people off doing that. And that might be why he hasn't done it. Because there's actually one of the problems is a lot of people who wanted that guy gone and replaced by, there's a couple candidates that people have in mind that are more qualified. They're like, now this guy can't be fired. Great job, Prigozhin. Thank you. Like, we were actually hoping that maybe some pressure on Putin would get this guy out of that job. And now you've entrenched him for at least another 6 months. Well done. Thank you. Now he literally cannot be fired because you demanded it, you asshole. That's what I would be thinking. I'm like, look, Shoigu probably could have gotten rid of him. Now you can't get rid of him because you're going to look like you bowed to this fucking guy's demands. But look, the Dmitry Peskov, who's like the press secretary for Putin, came out and he says, at no point was like the retirement of anybody. I'm paraphrasing. He said basically personnel changes in the Ministry of Defense are at the behest of the president, and they were not negotiating points with Prigozhin when they were negotiating with him. Basically, the negotiation with Prigozhin was like, stop now or we're going to kill you. Like, we haven't done anything yet, but like, your guys approaching Moscow will die, and we also have Rostov surrounded with troops. Because while Prigozhin was sitting there in the military command headquarters with his several hundreds of troops in the city with no resistance, the police didn't change anything. The city bureaucracy kept moving along. People were going to work. People were going to the store. Nothing closed. Everything was fine. It was less tyrannical than a COVID lockdown. they were just slowly bringing other units to surround the city.
And it had an actual geopolitical effect, unlike a COVID lockdown.
Right, yeah, it actually mattered, yeah. So, again, it's sort of funny that they got so excited about this. But I think...
Wait, what? Mike was going to say what? Did we all miss that? Is that because this is the Free Fag Edition? Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
This is an honest take, because I'll be honest, when this was going on, I was kind of black-pilled and I was angry at Putin for like letting this happen. But after it resolved and then a day of reflection, my opinion is this was a win for Russia, because it actually showed that they were totally fucking impervious to this, and they didn't take the bait of openly just the immediate reaction, which lots of Russia enjoyers on Telegram were saying was like, just fucking kill them. Just go and kill them.
Yeah,
Don't let anybody ever get away with this. Don't let them. I was saying some shit like that in the heat of the moment, but upon thinking about it later on, I was like, that would have been colossally fucking stupid.
No, they did.
And it seems that
giving amnesty to the people who are true believers of it, and then having the remaining soldiers just sign with the,
yeah, it's a total proper victory.
That's how to deal with that.
You got firing
on those
guys.
People, firing on them, like committing power, resources to fighting them would have been a huge mistake. That would have been like a clusterfuck. That would have been the catastrophe. Not only would the media, the Western media, would have loved that. That would have been the story. Then maybe there would have been Russian people questioning like their love of Putin at that point.
Yes, they would have been. And additionally,
the military industrial complex media is saying right now, they're saying that China is now shaking in their boots because of the mutiny that's happened in Russia.
It's like, nigga, explain yourself. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, I can explain it.
We work for the military industrial complex.
Okay, yeah.
And we do propaganda all day.
But like, why don't they come? They don't come with anything logical.
Try and meme things into reality.
They don't come with anything that makes any sense. Like, your meme memes have to be true to be to really
well,
like.
Here's prosper. One thing that I was actually concerned about when this was going on, which was that it was going to be some massive debacle, and that was going to give a lot of people in this sort of emerging, you know, non-Zog coalition of nations, like the Iran, Russia, China
right.
axis, was going to give them cold feet.
Yeah.
And they were going to back out. As it turns out, one of the first people that Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister of Russia, called after this shit was resolved was the Iranian president.
Yeah.
To like talk about how, yeah, no, like we're going to keep going and all this shit. So I imagine they're talking to the Chinese and telling them, and I imagine they just say, look, this is not really, this was one dude that was gay-opped by the West. Now, the question would be, there is some uncertainty. Like, are there other guys? But the thing is, why did they activate?
They weren't able to do anything.
Why didn't they activate?
This is basically all that Zog has left. I don't know if it's payoffs. Like, people were trying to meme this, like, $6 billion accounting error.
Yeah, that was sort of the payoff. It's like, they were directly connecting that to...
It's like, is this what... Let's pretend that's real for a minute. Can you really say, like, was this worth $6 billion? For Prigozhin, like, I'm going to have a fake coup attempt and I'm going to retire in Belarus over here on America's right. fucking dime? Or is that that's all they have left? Like, I was concerned, like, all right, so if they can turn this guy, like, what is his actual support level? And what else can they turn to go with him? And it's kind of like, well, nothing. That's how it turned out. Like, really, like, literally nothing.
The thing is, like, he's not a commander. He's just, like, the nominal owner of the company,
yeah,
the holding
crazy.
Company.
It's
that,
a weird
that,
situation.
That administers Wagner and, like, writes the checks.
Yeah.
He's not a commander. He's not a military. He doesn't go into battle. And he's never been in the military. The actual commanders are all these, like, super hardened, like, ex-Russian Special Forces guy, many of whom actually were kicked out of the military for, like, criminal behavior. So, yeah. Like, the idea that Wagner is, like, a criminal band is not actually that far from the truth. And I'll confess, I used to think Wagner was fucking awesome. I just think they were so fucking cool because, like, one, they're called Wagner. They're obvious allusions to Nazi Germany. Lots of them have fucking all the same tattoos that the Ukrainians have. Many, and in fact, there's a funny interview with Prigozhin by this kind of like Soyjack Russia war commentator who goes by the name War Gonzo. He's literally kind of like a soy type guy. And he was like clutching pearls in an interview with Prigozhin about the number of guys in Wagner that have Nazi tattoos. And Prigozhin was like, I don't fucking care as long as they'll fight. And now I'm thinking, like, holy shit, is this literally the Zog strategy in Eastern Europe is to recruit guys with SS tattoos to fucking fight Russia for them? But dude, Wagner used to do some really cool shit. Like in Syria, they fucking wrecked ISIS. They like chased ISIS for 200 miles through the desert and like killed them all. like they've done some, they've like, I used to really think they were very cool, but it's funny now in retrospect, like looking at everything that happened, like what was kind of going on there. And I wonder how America would handle
it. Sounds like Russian Blackwater though.
It is. It effectively is. But you wonder, like, what would happen if, like, Blackwater tried something like this in America? I will bet you they would fucking kill them. I will bet you if a military company in America tried something like this, they would just
do it,
they would fucking kill them. No, they wouldn't.
They just run America.
Well, the other thing is there's no reason to. There's no reason to do it because it's not ideological. It's just for money.
Right.
Right? There's no ideology. It's just for money. And what the fuck do you give a fuck? Like the war, like think about, like, and also America doesn't fight like in hot war, like doesn't fight real enemies. They fight like tribes people and shit with no air power and no, you know, and like even then those guys do pretty fucking good, you know. So, but yeah, I mean, the funny thing is one of the things that they were saying about this whole thing of NATO people training Ukraine for going on the offensive against Russia in this new thing is like none of these NATO commanders that are training these Ukrainians have ever been in the kind of war they're sending the Ukrainians into. They fought tribes people in Afghanistan. And the best they have is the people that actually fought Saddam Hussein's actual army in 1991. But even then, the Iraqis didn't have any competency with that equipment. And they just had tons of old Soviet equipment. They had a lot. They had like thousands of tanks and a bunch of planes, but they didn't even know how to use that shit. And they just all, most of it just got blown up by missiles and airstrikes and shit.
Right.
So like what general, what commander, what sergeant, what anybody in the ranks of any NATO army has actually been in fucking trench warfare against a peer level enemy, against an enemy with all the shit that Russia has? No one has ever been there. They have no idea what it's like, and they're sending these Ukrainians into that as if they have the relevant training to teach them how to deal with the fact that you're in a trench with the potential of getting killed by an airstrike at any minute. No American or NATO general army knows what that's like. They have no idea what that's like. So it's, yeah. To literally, you could just get killed at any minute. Now you're the fucking Taliban. And, you know? Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway,
well, I mean, just the fact that there was a failure to even capitalize on it with their so-called offensive is just.
That means that like the actual Russian lines of command and control were never broken.
I just wish this thing would just end. It's just it's so sad. You know, and I
keep waiting for it to end. And the question is, the only issue is how long can they continue to. When does the Ukrainian cannon fodder run out? And if it does, what do they do next? Do they accept defeat or do they escalate the war? I don't know. There's already talk that the Ukrainians are talking all this shit, like the Russians are going to blow up the nuclear power plant.
Yeah, that's the next.
Like they've been saying, like, and I'm like, all right, so
NATO's going to blow up that with some private yachts from was it Norway? I can't remember where the private yachts were from. Were they German? They're going to be in the area in the power plants.
There's going to be some private yachts. But see, this is the thing. Like they've already shown they'll blow up the Nord Stream pipeline. They'll blow up the dam. Yeah. And now they're bitching that Russia is going to blow up a nuclear power plant that they control. The Russians control the plant. And Russia is going to blow it.
Predictive programming.
Are you losing?
It's a predictive programming speed run. Like they're just telling you what they're going to do. You know, you can watch all the episodes of The Simpsons you want with the words 9/11 in them. Like, watch this news report. Like, I guarantee, it's like, how many weeks are we from them blowing up the nuclear plant
well,
when they're telling you that, oh, the Russians are going to do that? And the Russians are like, what, why the fuck would we do that? And then, oh. NATO
well, you
does.
Do that because the NATO is losing and they are going to want to do something catastrophic like that to just fuck up everything. It might not happen. The Russians should do everything they can to totally secure that facility or else just even take it offline, you know, just take it offline. But I don't know how easy that is. And then you got to transport nuclear materials. That's risky. So
who does Russia nuke if that happens? I mean, that's a nuclear provocation.
You know,
that's
some
disgusting.
People were pointing out, additionally, they blew up Nord Stream when they weren't losing.
Right.
like they blew up Nord Stream when Ukraine was not losing. Like now Ukraine is losing very badly, and there's really no unless some seriously, like, here's the, unless the dynamics of this battle.
If you're hearing my voice right now, something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. Unless this is just how you want to live, who am I to tell people to stop listening to free content that's constantly interrupted, that has to deal with my voice and whatever audio quality this is going to come out in? Who am I to tell people that they should be getting behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall? Especially if they're not white, which I assume that's what you probably are if you're hearing my voice right now. That's just my assumption. I could be wrong, but I mean, if you're not white, legally you do have to tell me that you're not white. I told Sven that I'd record some commercials for him, and at first I thought I was going to put some effort into it, but then I realized, why don't I just ramble in the dumbest way possible and force you to listen to it? Because that's what you're doing right now. You are listening to this. Mike was probably saying something very interesting, something very insightful, and now you're listening to me. Is this really what you want? Is this how you want to live? Do you want to be non-white? Because again, I just assume that's what you are. You could always fix that. You could rectify this problem by going to therightstuff.biz/paywall and getting yourself a subscription, and then you'll never have to hear me again, you know, unless I'm filling it or something.
Right now, fundamentally change. Ukraine will fucking lose. Okay? If the dynamic of the state military of Ukraine fights the state military of Russia continues for, I can't predict the time frame, but eventually Ukraine will lose. Even bringing in mercenaries, etc., they will lose. And so what's going to happen is what I'm afraid of, and I think this is something Russia is afraid of too, which is why Russia, frankly, I think one of the reasons Russia has been pussyfooting around is they're afraid that if they win too hard,
yeah,
then they'll get nuked. And it's a valid fucking fear. It's a valid fear. But I would have said to them, look,
someone should tell them the nukes aren't
real.
In that case, they'll feel better.
Well, what I would have said to them, in that case, what you need to do is win as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Create a fait accompli before anybody can do anything. But Russia just doesn't operate like that. They never have. They're just slow. They're just slow. That's just how they do. You can't change them. There are some valid.
I think they need to, it's like, I think what would move this along is if they make moves toward Syria and Iran, outright, that'll mess the West, make go sort of like Ukraine. Who? Now we're worried about
just
Israel.
Give them one. Just move nukes into Iran.
Something like that.
And put them under the control of the mullahs.
That'd be a good piece of strategy. That'll get their attention.
I mean, China got Anthony Blinken to go on his knees begging to them because they helped the Iranians build a hypersonic missile. He went basically on his knees, bowing, scraping before Xi Jinping.
That's the behavior that needs to continue. That's the kind of policy. Because now you want like the
taunt. That's how
back.
You're going to win this.
You can't, like, we have a bunch of Jews and trannies with the fucking nuclear button. You know, you have to match that. Match that with, you know, America's meme of like wild-eyed, rag-headed mullahs who just at any moment could fucking,
ever,
you know.
Think, if I could advise these people, I'd say don't ever think this country is rational.
No.
Or doesn't, or that, like, something like doing something to harm the American population, they wouldn't care.
You're
harming the population of Europe, they don't care.
They've already done that. All this energy policy has done great harm to both populations.
Right, right. So, now in America, it's less bad than in Europe, but like, don't ever think that kind of pressure, it might do something, but it's not, they don't give a fuck about it, right? The Israel and like stuff important to Jews, that's the point you need to target. And it seems like they kind of understand this because they did help Iran build that missile, or either that or China just like gave it to them. I don't know. But the fact is that this is a type of missile that an air defense systems really don't have a good track record, if any track record, of taking out, and it can hit Israel within a few minutes. So,
6 minutes, I think. 6-7 minutes.
Yeah. The best response of Putin to this coup attempt would have just been to nuke Tel Aviv. Just shoot a missile.
Well, that's always the best response anytime.
That's
when
the best
is
response
gonna,
to any of this stuff.
When is somebody going to realize that that's where you want to go?
We'd have world peace. We could have world peace.
Tel Aviv
Everybody
and the New York
else
City.
Could work out their issues. Yeah, I don't care if the chinks do chinky stuff in their area. I don't care if the Russians have like a corrupt gangster state in their area. I don't care about those things. Those things aren't my problem. That's not something that is an issue for me. Oh, the Russians have an authoritarian regime with some corrupt guys that gripped off the top in the power structure. Wow, that sounds like something that is really something I should care about, or anybody should care about. I don't even think Russians really give a shit about that. They're like, yeah, that's just how it works. That's how it's always been. It's a warlord state. What do you want from us? Anyway.
What are we doing
so
today,
So the extremely
America?
Online meme coup didn't work. This should be – it's like literally – look, Prigozhin started CIA. He's like, look, I've got like 2 million Twitter followers now. Or I've got like 2.5 million people on Telegram. Like I think I can do – I think I can launch this. I think this will work. One of the funniest copes is of like the Prigozhin enjoying Russian boomer is like – Prigozhin is not going into exile in Belarus. He's going to raise up another military company there that is going to fight against, because there's this gay op group in Belarus that has like military units in Ukraine fighting on the Ukrainian side, and they're also talking about how they want to take out Lukashenko, which is never going to happen. But they're saying like Lukashenko is going to use Prigozhin to raise up a military company to fight that gay op against, and I'm like, no, dude. They're probably going to put this guy in some villa and just have security around it all the time, and that'll be that. I mean, that's what they should do. That's what they should do. Give him, like, a nice collection of movies, a Blu-ray collection, a big-screen TV in some nice house someplace, and he'll just, like, watch movies for the, you know, and drink himself to death with vodka or whatever the fuck they do. You know, I don't know.
Having some more turbulent activity outside.
Yeah.
Well, it's over now. The sun's out here now. So.
No, I'm hearing thunder in the distance. It got a lot drier, but it's feeling bad again, and I'm hearing thunder. I'm very scared. I'm going to be like, I'm going to go hide under the desk and shake. Oh, wait, no, that's what the dogs are going to do. Sorry. Imagine if everybody was like dogs. Imagine if there was like this like mental block where no one knew what thunder was, and we all just hid under furniture when there's a thunderstorm.
But dogs like... seem to like forget in between bouts of thunder.
No, my like, dogs. My dogs. Like, my dogs remain traumatized for several hours, and if another thunderclap hits or another like firework goes off, like the process starts over again.
Yeah, I know. Well, very it was sad. Thundering the other day, and Tony was just like yapping and running up and down the stairs and in circles and just like absolutely freaking out. Huh. And I was like, bro, like. Just let him do it.
My dogs pant and drool in like one spot. They try to hide under furniture, or I'm like, they'll come downstairs and like try.
No, he just runs around in circles, yapping.
Yeah, he should be on the podcast. So what's going on? So on Twitter, like the coup is just like, it's like what coup? What happened? Like we're talking about AR-15s. We're gonna ban all AR-15s. Excuse me, we've got an Ohio State football player who has gone to the hospital. Nobody has any confirmed information as to why, but it's because of the COVID-19 vaccine.
Banning the AR-15s? Why is that all over the place?
It's just America. This is what we talk about. That's what we worry about. We've got, I guess...
Washington's
done
see,
that.
Okay. A bunch of students from Ohio State are going to be able to sue for being molested. You know, so 230 student-athletes, I guess, were sexually molested by somebody at Ohio State University. They're going to be allowed to sue. But the real thrust of the story is that what does it mean for Jim Jordan? I love America. That's really what I give a fuck about. Like, is anybody going to be brought to justice? Are people going to get like closure? Or, like all these victims, are they going to have something to like to move on with their lives about? This is about what's this mean for Jim Jordan and the stupid Republicans? It's like, well, oof, that was a good one.
What about like the fact that this whole Russia coup thing was orchestrated to cover up the emerging revelations about Hunter Biden?
Oh man.
Like the Titanic sub.
Oh, that was the cat turd
implosion.
Thing.
Oh, yeah. Didn't distract from Hunter Biden enough, so they had to escalate it to military coup in Russia to distract from Hunter Biden.
I forgot. Hunter Biden, it's the Phantom Menace. He's literally the episode one of American foreign policy. He's out there with his fucking, double-bladed crack pipe. He's out there. He's spinning that thing.
This whole thing in Russia was orchestrated specifically to distract from revelations about Hunter Biden. And now, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Cat Turd was a fucking Jew, but like, I don't have any evidence of who this guy is. I do know that he was doxxed and the media neglected to tell you
Cat Turd?
Who he was. Yes. They neglected to reveal his identity either because he's Jewish or just because what he's doing is overall useful to the regime. But, I can't imagine the mindset of somebody who finds that interesting or intriguing or impressive. Like, yeah, these impactful international events are being made up to distract from Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
Anybody that says like this was made up to distract from this, it's like no.
Interesting.
I think that you're full of shit. I think that what that means is you're mad that nobody else cares about the dumb shit that you care about.
Why is Guatemala trending? We're going to nuke Guatemala.
Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
Who knows? Anyway, let's just take a break. No. We can take a break, come back. And
is it empty now? Haven't they all just come here? Isn't that the issue? Like Guatemala, no one's left. They're all here.
Well, I just assume all the white people stay behind. They send the Indio up here, right? Isn't that how that works? Jesus.
Well, is it like at any given time, like half of the countries of like Guatemala and El Salvador are like in America? Well, actually, Salvadorans have a reason to go home. That country is safer than America.
Yeah, right. I would fucking.
You
can
should
I go there?
Home now. Great president. He cares about your country, and you know you are safer than you are here, living adjacent to fucking nigger ghettos.
All right. Like you're literally saying I need to take a hairspray and scrambled eggs break. I'm starving.
All right.
Yeah, I'm starving, man.
And I'm afraid the electricity's going to go out, and we've like recorded an hour and 20 minutes of video, and it's just going to be over because
Yeah.
I do have a UPS though.
Lock this in before the electricity.
All right. We'll be back in a little bit, everybody. Oh shit!
You are listening to the Daily Shower. Wow. As racist and sexist as they can be, we're gonna offend you, isn't it funny? La 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 la.